Welcome to this sermon podcast from St. Patrick's Episcopal Church in St. John's, Florida. This sermon is for the second Sunday in Lent, and the lessons appointed for this Sunday are from Genesis, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 7 and 15 and 16, the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, from Psalm 22, and from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. I speak to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I missed a great opportunity this morning. When I was listening to that second reading, I could have built an entire sermon around the word reckoning. I mean, isn't that a word that y'all use all the time? We're in the South. I reckon this. I reckon y'all know what it means. I reckon y'all would have laughed about that. Last week we heard about the Spirit driving Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days after his baptism. And in my sermon last week, I talked about the reality of Satan. Or as I told you that we talk about the devil in my household, old Stinkface. And I told you that perhaps the greatest temptation that we face, now listen to this, the greatest temptation that we face is to think, to believe, and to act as though God is not with you. As if God does not care about you. As if whatever you are dealing with does not matter to God. That, I believe, is the biggest and the most subtle temptation that we face. So, do you think that you are susceptible to that temptation? I promise it is more subtle than we think, and it is manifested in our behavior. Have you ever been told that you were trying to control something? Of course you have. Think of all the things that you are responsible for, including yourself. We are hardwired to be in control of things, or to use a term that many of us do not like to hear, to be controlling. Now, please do not tell me that I am controlling. That is not a compliment. But it is a response. It's a response to a temptation, a very big temptation. That's why Peter had the response that he had to Jesus in our gospel story. Jesus was telling the disciples about the suffering that he was about to experience. Can you hear Peter's impromptu response? No. That's not the way we think it should be, Jesus. We cannot deal with you suffering. And if you were here last Wednesday night to hear Judas, you can imagine what he was thinking. I know how to get this revolution started. And Jesus responds, "Get behind me, Satan." And I have to wonder if Jesus was reminded of his time in the wilderness. Our tendency is to control. Some of us are more prone to it than others. And some of us are pretty savvy. But we all do it. And so it's really good to hear the story
of Abraham and Sarah in our first reading. If anyone had a reason to begin to believe that God had forgotten them, it would be Abraham and Sarah. I love the way Barbara Brown Taylor introduces the story. And this is what she writes. When the Lord showed up at Abram's 99th birthday party, it was not the first time the two had met. That had happened 24 years before, when Abram was a mere youth of 75. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God had said to him then, and Abram had gone, taking everything he owned, except a map. Because there wasn't one. God's voice was the only map he had. And he and his wife Sarai learned to live by it. They simply learned to recognize the tug inside of them when it came, as if God held the delicate end of a thread stitched lightly through their hearts. And they learned to follow its lead without having to know where or what or why. It's from her book, Gospel Medicine. And that's how they lived, walking with God and remembering the promise God made to Abram. Oh, what a story. You remember that one when God told Abram, his name was still Abram at that point, that God would give him many, many heirs. Mind you, Abram at that point was already a very old man. And Sarai was beyond her childbearing years. Abram was a bit, could we say, confused by this news. And God takes Abram outside and tells him to look up at the night sky and to count the stars, if he can. Have you ever sat outside on a clear night and tried to count all the stars? I'm not sure how far Abram got on his counting project, but he got to the point. But he got the point because he carried that message in his heart for the next couple of decades, at least most of the time, or at least when he wasn't trying to control things, like telling Sarai to lie about being his wife so that he wouldn't get in trouble. You see, even the father of our faith had a run with the temptation of all temptations. But God continued to remind him of God's promise. And that's where we find Abram in this morning's reading. He's just shy of a century, and the Lord appears to him again. Now, there's an interesting thing that's going on here between God and Abram. This is the well-known story when God changes Abram and Sarai's names. But did you notice that God actually tells Abram God's name? Our translation says, God says, I am God Almighty. The Hebrew word is El Shaddai. And it is interesting that it translates as I who suffices. El Shaddai, the one who satisfies all our needs. the one who is enough. And then God reminds Abram of the promise or the covenant that God made with him 24 years ago. This was not new news to Abram. But a covenant is a living thing. Every time it is repeated, the promise is renewed. Abram may have been tempted to think that the promise had expired, but El Shaddai had not forgotten. In fact, El Shaddai, the one who suffices, made sure that Abram and Sarai would not forget, and did so by giving them new names. Abraham, the name means father of a multitude of nations. Every time he heard his name, Abraham was reminded of God's promise. And so was the person uttering his name. Sarah, the name means kings of peoples shall come from her. Subtle reminder, powerful reminder. God had given them a daily reminder of the promise of many heirs, reminders that strengthened and reinforced their faith. Reminders. We all need them, don't we? And if we stop and think about it, they do come to us in a variety of ways. I like to call them God bursts. You all have heard me talk about how excited I get with bicycles. When I see a string of bicycles, it's God's way of telling me this is going to be an awesome day. And it usually is. And now lately, I've been hoping and waiting for, there's a turkey that lives in the woods behind my house. And that turkey has come back. What does it mean? I don't know. But it gives me this awareness that God is present. Very present in God's creation. And there's a hope. There's a hope in that gobble, gobble, gobble that I hear that brightens up my spirit. It's just a reminder. Where are the reminders for you? Does it come when you open up a window or walk out a door on a certain day that just has the fresh air of new life, of new spring, of new beginning? Or perhaps it's in a conversation with someone and you're reminded of God's grace. How do those reminders come to you? Reminders. They're related to what we do here. Just as God gave Abraham and Sarah new names to remind them of the promise of a multitude of future heirs, God has given us the gift of each other. We are those heirs. We are the church, the body of Christ. God has given us each other to remind us of the love and to remind us to continue offering that love to the world, the everlasting love that Jesus showed us on the cross. And as part of what we do in the Episcopal Church is our liturgy. And what we observe in the season of Lent, these weeks before Easter, they remind us of our need of a Savior. These weeks are filled with intentional reminders, especially Holy Week. Reminders that will help to strengthen and to reinforce our faith. Our worship space is filled with reminders and icons, the Stations of the Cross. These are icons that remind us of the story of the last week of Jesus, the Passion. Icons. And if you're interested in learning more about icons, make a point of coming here on March 10th, Saturday morning. We have a person who writes icons, who will be coming and explaining what they are, going into them deeper. It'll be a rich time. You're not going to be required to do anything. Just come and soak it up. Learn about it. We also have Stations of the Cross booklets back on the back table. Come and do your own stations. Let these be a reminder to you during this time of Lent. Let these reminders strengthen and reinforce your faith. So as you continue to journey these weeks of Lent, perhaps you can look to Abraham and Sarah, who walked with God, and reflect on what it means to you to walk with God. Maybe there's an Abraham or a Sarah inside of you wanting to believe, because you know they struggled to believe. You know they wanted to believe. They wanted to remember that covenant, the promise. And you know they thought it was just the craziest thing to imagine that a man of 99 and a woman 75, 80, would have heirs. And it was crazy. It was absurd. But it was God's promise, El Shaddai. Amen.